Straw Man, The Real Story of Your Artificial Person, A Private Work by Clint, read for you by Josie. Preface, Part 4.
I, as the author of this work, am not sending it into the world as a published book. It is not in circulation, nor is it posted or registered for the intent of any legal means or protections. I am not offering to pass it to anyone, but instead offer it in pure love and charity to everyone. I have not uttered it orally or in writing for the purposes of delivery into any public realm or under any public law. I retain and reserve any and all rights and privileges against any that may be imagined by men, and allow no others to exist surrounding this work despite my will. No one may legally own, copyright, alter, or have any exclusive right to this work in any legal or other system but myself, with or without name or title. The use, but not the property, of this work is free to all men and only to men. No fictions, persons, allowed. As for the passing of things, we must realize that the birth and delivery process is the passing of the certified child to the federal state, district, as any delivery of a note to another for value, with intent that it shall be put into circulation as money. Just so that we are clear, the bottom of the birth certificate, created at my supposed legal person's birth, artificial creation, which was issued in the name of the legal entity created at the event of the delivery of my own vital statistics to the state, as entitled Clint Richardson, all capitals, is adorned with the words of its origin, which are Midwest Banknote Company. In other words, my actual life, as recorded words labeled as the vital statistics thereof, was rendered into a fictional person of the federal district, Caesar, and this fictional persona is essentially a public pass, which creates the legal status that allows me, as a registered agent of that fictional legal persona, to be recognized and to have legal permission to pass, a license to go or come, a certificate emanating from authority, wherein it is declared that a designated person is permitted to go beyond certain boundaries which, without such authority, he could not lawfully pass. In other words, I may roam around the virtual halls of the United States public jurisdiction and no other, a prison for my debtor, which is the person, legal status, class, and rank in society, I carry in the form of a certified identification, usually in the form of a passport or driver's license. By showing my virtual hall pass, thus proving through a publicly certified and officially published utterance, public identification, that I am a public subject of the sovereign and principal who owns and controls that legal persona, status, as assigned to me as the agent, employee, of that principality, municipal corporation, I am confirming the contractual relationship between myself, as acting registered agent for service of process, and the United States government jurisdiction and district, principal. But we are getting ahead of ourselves. While the underlying meaning of this definition of the word publish will not fully sink into the average reader quite yet, its importance and relevance will certainly be realized in a most horrific way once this work is in its entirety digested. For to be a public entity is to belong to the public, which belongs to another. And so to be clear, by proclaiming that this work is utterly private in every way, is to say that no ownership is to be assumed by any means or by any type of person, natural or artificial, legal or otherwise. To publish means to transfer ownership in exchange for protection and agreement through subjection to a lower legal law. I choose not to do this, electing instead to remain pure and charitable in all possibilities under God, and invoking only the highest law thereof as my only protection against this honorable den of thieves in legally established high places under completely fictional, flattering titles. Quote, publication is the distribution of copies or phonorecords of a work to the public by sale or other transfer of ownership, or by rental, lease, or lending. The offering to distribute copies or phonorecords to a group of persons for purposes of further distribution, public performance, or public display constitutes a publication. A public performance or display of a work does not of itself constitute publication. End quote. U.S. Code, Title 17, Chapter 1, Section 101. Again, under no circumstances should this work be construed in any manner as a publication, legal or otherwise. It is not a published work in any way or form, and so the author offers none of these above-listed forms of distribution or publication, only the free use of my work without gain and without personal ownership by any other. Under no circumstances should he who obtains this work with any condition or form assume ownership of it, nor should his straw man, person, be ascribed with such false authority so as to declare it in any form of legal property. It cannot be conquered, purchased. It is forever a private work in whatever form it happens to appear, with all rights privately reserved, and it can and will never be sold or published by its creator. However you, the reader of this work, has attained this work, and in whatever form, it is simply not your property. If, as I recommend, the reader of this work is doing so from a digital document, and wishes to obtain a hard copy of this work in the book form we are accustomed to, complete with index, one will not be able to do so without understanding what has been written and disclaimed here. It is only available as a gift given by myself, and I do not apologize one bit for this fact or for the difficult or limited way in which it may be obtained. There will be no receipt, no guarantees, no consumer protections, for there will be no political or commercial transaction between us, and I will not respect or deal with any fictional legal persona. If you feel that this work and its author, myself, after receiving it in PDF form, freely in charity and without any expectations of anything of value in return, is worthy of a gift of pure charity in whatever measurement and goodwill without receipt or expectation, then the author would be happy to give the pure gift of a soft cover copy of this work in book form without obligation or expectation to do so. As pure gifts born out of pure love and charity have no need for a receipt or monetary consideration, no receipt should be expected for such spiritually driven acts of kindness. No record of any transaction should be considered or sought after, and the faith of ultimate trust alone under God is the only foundation of duty one should expect, without any artifice of security, insurance, and consumer protections in mammon. One could call this by the name, noun, of reciprocal gift-giving, but then that would be but a fallacious and fictitious name attempted to be forcibly attached to that which is non-fictional. And so if all this seems like too much trouble, then by all means take this gift freely without any expectations by myself. If you wish to make a gift in any other way, as the purest of charitable offerings, and so that I can continue in the labor of this voluminous work and other future projects, I would be honored and humbled by such intentional kindness, respect, and purity of charitable love as God commands. And, as a bonus, it would probably really piss off the powers that be, those legal creators and privateers of all this mischief in mammon, to use their iniquitous money against their own usurious intent in privacy and in pure charity. Supporting my efforts at the very least is an act of private contempt for that which has enslaved and stolen all things in legalized piracy, which ironically is what this work will expose as exactly what has happened to the republished common peoples around the world and in every nation. For the best way to steal from all men is to cheat them in piracy without them even knowing it has happened and continues to happen, through the illusions of word magic and implied public contract. It is also declared here that this work should not ever be construed to be part of any political activities affecting any agency or official of the government of the United States, or of any of the several private states, or their fictional commercial state governments and agencies in allegiance to it or them, or to any section or individual part of the public within the United States, or any other nation with reference to formulating, adopting, or changing the domestic, public, or foreign policies of the United States, its public law, or with reference to any political, private, or public interests, policies, or relations of a government of a foreign country and or state or political party, nor of that of any such artfully, fictitiously contrived diplomats, members, or so-called agents and employees. This work is designed only for the private use of private men, not the politics and legal diplomacies of governments and their agents and employees. There can be no treason from without, only from within. This work is certainly without and not under the United States jurisdiction and laws in any way. Again, this is a purely private work intended only for the private, spiritual use of all men without the artifice and false security of personhood. The author takes no responsibility for the actions of its readers or their unrequited desires to share it freely and lovingly in a non-commercial capacity with all. Any desires to hang any and all government agents from the nearest tree is purely a detachment from this work, for the author stresses that all men have been tricked by their own participation in false persona and flattering titles of the state, including even the most dirty and corrupt of politicians and landholders that have enslaved us all through these false titles. Any such thoughts would only be the reasonable response to learning the truth and criminality of purely false, legally incorporated governments and religions. But I must stress here that only total forgiveness for all men, as the scriptures proclaim, can solve these problems, and that the word forgiveness is attributed here merely means to stop supporting, respecting, and participating voluntarily in these fictional legal matrixes and financial systems of mammon. To forgive is to stop giving respect, and instead forgive it just as freely as you received it. For none of us are so innocent that we may throw stones at the other, each of us having played our fictional parts with equal delusion. Kill their fictional persons, not them. Let the straw men burn. Destroy utterly their fictions, but do no harm to their reality, nature, for their lives are the property of God to be judged thereof. Forgive the man his trespasses, and spill not his blood, but merely strip away and turn your back on his false titles and authorities, both in mind and of body. Let his artifice wallow, wither, and die in its own creation and realm, if he insists on worshipping his own creation and false gods of men and mammon, and respect it all no more. This is the only true self-defense. The only path presented herein is one of pure charity and love. There is no other way, no other true path. We must forgive ourselves by returning that which does not belong to us, namely our false legal persona, status, as property of government and all that is attached to it. The slave must become the master of his own mind, body, and soul. This work is not a creation or publication in any way by any legal person as defined in any of the laws of the United States, United Nations, or of any other legal or sovereign government, de facto or de jure, under any domestic or international law whatsoever. I am simply and without artifice that I am. In other words, I reserve all rights without exception. If it is unclear now why the author chooses to keep this work in totality and in perpetuity a private creation without limitation or registration, it may indeed take the comprehension of what in totality is written within this work to obtain such understanding. But here, now, I shall endeavor to explain especially the reasons for this disclaimer. Quote, a gift is said to be pure and simple when no legal condition or qualification is annexed. End quote. Black's Law, 4th edition. Imagine a lifestyle where all of your actions are charitable, where everything you do is purely to benefit others, and where each action you take has no expectations of return, profit. Can you imagine such a beautiful existence? Well, that is certainly what the scriptures tell us to do. It is important to acknowledge and understand that one's first name, Christian name, is indeed considered by the state as an uncontrollable, ungovernable, and legally ambiguous gift from God, as are we in our natural essence of life. That first name shows us to be purely and only an act of God being bound only by its law. Thus, when a legal last or surname is attached, annexed, as a qualification to one's God-given Christian name, we stand contracted to the legality, opposition to God, that that last name represents, and so appear to stand against our very own nature, source, by the administrators of persons. We throw away our gift and lose its authority, for we lose the law implied by that unblemished gift, name, of and under God. This naming process literally represents us in spiritual death, where the strict written Roman law rules us in thoughtless causality, our choice to act morally by religiously following a higher law than man's being, stripped away from us through control of that legal personhood. When choice is destroyed, so too is moral compunction. When one justifies one's own immoral actions while acting in the agency and false persona, property, of another, and thus under its law, believing, loving, that the evil actions one does while acting in such an agentic state for another is morally reprehensible, while at the same time legally acceptable, then one has been conquered by words, by the magic spellings of the written law of men. The person is used as an excuse to act without conscious consideration and responsibility of one's own actions, though there is certainly said to be no excuse before God in reality. It's the American way. Blame the fiction, and in so doing, ignore the crime and never stand up to that fiction, for corporations are persons with equal rights too. And so the legal destruction of God's nature is forgiven by those who otherwise would die for its preservation and care, cowed by the sanctions and duties of legal law that require consent to even our own destruction, if politically necessary. We are then, in citizenship, no longer living for and as a part of God's nature, creation, but part of man's designs against it, ourselves included. We then act as a person of government instead of as a man, non-person, of God's creation, nature. For though a person, status, always represents a man in fiction, a man is never actually that person. Persons are always fictional creations, the pretended, artful character a man portrays to escape his duty to God and nature. To be clear, the only difference between a natural person and an artificial person, corporation, is that a corporation is wholly a creation or creature of the law, whereas the natural person is a man acting under the shelter of a legal personhood, status. Both are creations, fictions of law, but the artificial person has no choice. A corporation cannot leave the legal realm it was created in, whereas man may quit claim his person. And so I offer this, my own work, freely to all men as a pure, unqualified, and simple gift under the principles of that highest law of nature, even as so recognized by legal curators, to those who seek the knowledge presented inside. I do so without agenda and without design or intent against any established form of government, for this work is in no way being offered to any type of person, legal status, of or under any nation. As ignorance and lies are the only tools of externally sourced mind control, government over men, this work is offered only for the spiritual enlightenment of my fellow man, seeking that very narrow path out of this fictional matrix of legal words and lies. And so with clarity and some trepidation, I must reveal here just how this work may be obtained as a pure and simple gift by those who seek an actual copy in book-like format. For printed copies in that general book-like form we are all familiar with, and as a token exchange in the form of a pure gift of any privately utilized currency or other thing, all of which to a spiritual man under God are foreign in nature and useless, but to the possible reality it may falsely represent, the party to the exchange must know and acknowledge that this will not in any way be legally considered or protected exchange, nor a taxable or tax-deductible one, and will be completely without, not inside of, the United States as a corporation, district, and/or jurisdiction, and/or any other political, legal, commercial, international, or interstate jurisdiction, taking place in a purely private modality, without any public or other artifice or protections. No false, legally established peace and security should be construed, and no legal protections or insurances. With regard to this work, I am not a natural or artificial taxable thing, person, or entity, and neither is this work. I am no thing at all. I am not acting in any legal or other form of personhood or legal name or title in its creation, giving freely this work as a pure and simple gift to any who ask without expectation, qualification, or condition, and with absolutely all rights reserved. I am only a true religious man acting in real piety when regarded in any way in consideration of this work as defined within. I am not in any way valued in artifice, money, or other valuable consideration, and neither is this work to be valued in any such artful, empty, legal form. There is no public sales tax required or collected because this work is not for sale under any government permission, request, public license, or as legal evidence and publicity, and under no conditions or circumstances should it be construed otherwise. If, for whatever reason, someone desiring to acquire this work in its printed book format cannot offer such a similar gift to myself in free will without consideration and without expectation, this digital copy is given freely in goodwill, conscience, honor, and trust, with no expectation of future reciprocation or remuneration of any valuable consideration, real or fiat, in any form or modality. No obligation for future payment or return is to be construed in any way, shape, or form by the free sharing of this private work in any format or form given by its author, nor by any gifts or donations given or received. It carries no valuation or face value, thus it cannot be commercially considered or sold. It displays no price or mark. It is priceless as God and thus myself intended all things to be. It cannot be purchased through any means, legal or other, and it is not for sale. It, and the time I have privately put into its creation, is my own sacrifice and represents only my own private duty to my fellow man under the highest law of nature. This work is not copyrighted and is never to be considered taxed or registered as a publication under any government permission or license. As a living, sentient, and spiritual being acting only under the laws of God's nature, I choose in my election to make this work free to all who seek it, free from government exaction, extortion, and or taxation, and free from the conformity of publishing house editors, limitations, and censorship. However, this work is not to be considered or confused as ever being within any legal form of that which is misleadingly called as the public domain. That seemingly innocent domain is merely another legal term meaning the legal fictional realm, dominion, of the legal law and control, fictional jurisdiction, of government, and I do not concede or consent to the public's ownership of my God-given Christian name or of my own private labor and works. If I were to publish this work as a legally bound book in binding, I would only be able to do so under a legal surname, title, or other fictitious name, pen name, and only by a marked number as legal coding which does not belong to me. Thus my work would become the conveyed property of government, owner of the public works and all in that domain, to which my fictional legal estate, incorporated surname, would be assigned the benefit of mere use and profit until my certified civil, artificial, legal death or imprisonment, at which time this work would ultimately become the sole and perfected property of government, also known as the public, existing only according to its own will and artificial law, whereas those rights may be reassigned to another fictional estate, and thus limited in its availability, or shelved and hidden from the private and public view of others, as so many important works of history have been, and are being clandestinely destroyed in a virtual burning. This is the true and corrupt nature of that seemingly free public domain, as we will discuss, and this work is and forever shall be no part of that adversarial legal fiction. Its nature is free, unenfranchised, unregistered, and so untaxed without tribute or burden. That which is free under God needs no artificial means or false legal protections or permissions to exist. Its existence is self-evident. I need not legally prove it to any man in false legal title, for it has no legal capacity, no pretended fictional existence, and neither does its author as to its regard. One might find this to be a strange sentiment, simply because that same man, male or female, acting and thinking in and as unequally sexed public person, in bond and surety of a surname, not his or her own, and with induced and re-educated public-mindedness, would certainly self-identify him or herself as part of the public. I do not, for I choose not to be a slave to fiction. My election is sure. I am that I am, and I am not what I am not. If every individual man quit claiming to be and legally artificially appearing as a fictional person, straw man, of and under government, the public domain would still only remain inside of that legal artificial realm of the property and jurisdiction of government, as would all controlled government-granted copyrights and patents, for none of these exist in reality. In other words, they are not self-existent creations of God and not grounded in nature or its law. Nothing of what man calls as legal fictional property is of God, for property is only a flattering title, and all such titles in fiction are forbidden by the Creator and its law. Legal government doesn't actually exist except on paper and in the imaginations of men who will kill to religiously protect its fictional, false existence. Legal government can only govern legal things, and the scriptures tell us clearly to be no thing. We are not to allow our true selves to be pretended to be some legal, fictional thing we are not. This is one of those unbreakable foundational laws of God, and without that negative foundation, to be no thing, all is lost. With no military, no force could be used to justify this legalized piracy of all common men, and lawmakers and administrative judges would have no weight behind their decisions and opinions, empty words of art. For none of these are of reality, merely part of the big legal lie that enslaves the minds of most men in a virtual pirate cove run by legalized pirates that have clandestinely and through the trickery of word magic stolen our private works through publication and false protectionism. Quote, "It is easier to fool people than it is to convince them they have been fooled." End quote. Mark Twain. A public patent holds no authority in the private hands of spiritual men, only in the public, dead hands of legal entities. For these are merely fictions of law, empty words, attached only to the surname of man's registered and assigned personhood in citizenship and estate, not to man himself. Patents are purely an object of greed in mammon. Their only purpose is to protect man's acting legal persona in the commercial legal systems of mammon, in the profits gained by his works through the tainted surname of government, using its created and monopolized money and royalty structure to deny all others in need your gift of knowledge. Of course, a private use of anything cannot be protected by anything man creates, even that artful law of copyrights and patents. Patents and copyrights only protect a public person in the selling for profit and gain of his works by others in the public legal realm. They are purely tools of mammon and no other. This is to say that any private man may recreate any patented or copyrighted idea if his intention is purely of charity and love. If his intent is not to sell or acquire gain in mammon, in government-issued and protected currency, then no patent need exist. They only protect money, usury, gain, and profits in the legal jurisdiction. And so for myself and my work, knowing what I know and choosing to act in the purest of intent, I need nor claim no such protections and securities from any fictional government, and restrict all legal government scripts of money from touching or attaching to this work in any way, from every corner of God's earth or of man's fictional realms, jurisdictions. In other words, I am naturally free, a feeling likely never experienced by most modern public-minded men who cannot by legal law know or act under charity and love in its highest substance and protective law. I seek no license or permission to act and give freely of myself, for I'm acting under no one else's fictional persona, status in law. My soul is simply not for sale. Neither is this work. Artifice and legal fiction can only exist and be attached to artificial legal things, of which man is not and can never be. Legal surnames, the last name, and titles are legal creations of that legal fiction of law. So why would I create such a work, such a labor of intentional and mutual love and devotion to my fellow man in warning against such artifice as this, only to place it under a fictitious straw man name that belongs to that same unloving artificial thing, such as any legal government and its gods, magistrates, if a real man did not commit the action of its creation and labor? No legal name actually owns this work, for these fictional names are not part of actuality, of the reality of nature. A legal name is only ever a registered, taxed property of some government, the creator god of legal persons, places, and things, nouns and names. It is declared here and for all times that no legal name should ever be permitted to own this work by any pretended legal authority. It is a white stone passed from hand to hand, a tool to be used by all who wish to utilize its power and subsequent knowledge. Possession does not imply ownership, only natural, private use and enjoyment. No easement of any type whatsoever should be construed by these statements, and no profit should be taken from it under any circumstances, without express written permission by its creator, myself, and only without legal formality. If anyone wishes to reproduce this work in book or any other form whatsoever without any implied ownership, patent, or copyright because of that action, please contact the author and speak plainly in your intent. However, no permission or right whatsoever, public or private, should be construed in any form by these statements. Use this work freely, but never claim ownership through purchase or other means, for this work is unconquerable. This is the way of the spiritual man in his spiritual works, and in all ways and in all endeavors, this is what we all must become. To this end, this is my first big step. Upon the artificial civil death of a fictional person named Clint Richardson, occurring either in criminalization and especially in the case of my, its agents, voluntary abjuration of any and all legal fiction realms, the perceived status of this work will never change, for it is and never will be attached to that legal entity. It will remain private, for it was never designed or intended to be published in that legal realm where only fictions exist and legally, artificially, subsist. Upon my actual, natural, physical death, this work is at that point and for all time to be considered a work and principal property of Jehovah, God, as specifically defined herein, and for all time heretofore and hereafter, free to all and restricted by no government or other legal or real entity or agency thereof, as the property of no man or person but myself and my posterity and all who seek to protect it from such legal atrocities. No legal status shall ever be assigned to this work. This work is never to be considered in any way or format as the property of any other man, person, agent, principal, sovereignty, or any other living and or fictional entity, existing or non-existent, real or artful. These legal entities and idolaters may attempt to burn and erase every copy, but I have faith that my fellow, spiritually oriented man may preserve and protect what is revealed herein. The right of copy and distribution shall never be owned or claimed by any government, man, or person of any government, or of any private state, held only by myself privately and without artifice, which is to say that no man or legal entity may ever hold said right, or privy in limitation of any other man under any law or title, just or unjust, de jure, de facto, or de gratia. This preface is to be considered as evidence, legal or otherwise, in every possible case whatsoever, of my, as the original author's, last, final and unchanging, will and testament, as it pertains to this work. If you have questions as to the meaning of all of this, simply ask. It's not as complicated as you might think. Or continue reading and discover just what this legal system truly represents. This is not a disclaimer in or under any of man's systems of art and law. This is the making of law under the equitableness and authority of God's nature as the highest authority and power. This is a direct line and appeal to the highest law and purest intent possible. As for this very large tome of research and discourse, to call this work as a pamphlet would of course be incorrect, considering both its sheer magnitude of size and the fact that its author is not sufficiently skilled in that ability to speak so eloquently as to constrict his thoughts into such brilliantly short but concise packages. For this I must humbly apologize to the reader. However, in the case of this particular work, such size restrictions would ultimately be an impossibility, for it is meant to be as much of a compilation and reference on the alternative language of law and of scripture, as it is to be a guidepost for the reader's own navigation through such artifices, evils, of fiction, and also of those paradables of spiritual choice. It is an encyclopedic dictionary, a walkthrough of the language that enslaves us. A short pamphlet certainly cannot teach one a new language, only utilizing it in a limited capacity and understanding. Therefore, it has been indexed as such, though no index will be available for the PDF or other digital format. In this way, only are these two versions different. If you are somehow purchasing this work from a private or public bookstore or from any other incorporation, person, man, business, or venue, then they are hopefully to be commended for this action. There is no sale or wholesale price attached to this work for the purposes of resale elsewhere. It cannot be tracked or purchased from myself as a sale or wholesale product in any commercial way or without my permission, as it is my will that it shall not exist in that legal commercial realm. Instead, to remain always as a private work available to all at no cost, as a pure and simple gift. If you have found this work unused and available anywhere but from my own garage, then I must have had a personal interaction with someone who wished to share this work in its book format as one would share a pamphlet, or in modern times a DVD or other digital handout through activism. Please ensure that this is the case before supporting any such monetary transactions with pirates. If through one's business one wishes to sell this work, please contact me and speak from the soul without artifice or ill intent, and be prepared to offer a purely private gift in good conscience and unattached to this work, without any form of corporate intercourse or in any commercial name, receipt, insurance, tax write-offs, consumer or corporate protections, or any other pretense, so that I may cover my own costs and labor when offering this work as a free gift. For I no longer choose to operate in that artificial world of commerce, which is and always has been nothing but human trafficking through the theft of ideas and labors of men, to support that system of mammon for the benefit of a few. Only private gifts will be received without expected consideration, and this work will only be given as a pure and simple gift to whom I privately choose. This statement should not be misconstrued to mean that I give consent or permission to reproduce this work in any form or format within or without any fictional realm, only that this finished work, as obtained only from me, I am, under only my private Christian name, may be given or traded away to others with only good and pure intent, and without legal and commercial considerations. No man, person, or other fiction of law shall have any right to copyright or reproduce this work under any government jurisdiction or authority for profit without express written permission from myself, that is, the actual me, I am, without any legal consideration, fictional law, and persona. I also hope to have a recorded audio version available sometime after the release of this work, to which the same conditions will apply. However, I again stress the importance of this work as an indexed reference guide in its unpublished, indexed, book-like form. For who knows how long that artificial digital world will last, or how long it will allow works like this to be shared in such an impermanent, artificially fragile digital form and domain. If any reader wishes to spend the time creating an index or other compendium for this free digital work, the author would be glad to share that with all others as well. Lastly, and to be perfectly clear, this work is meant above all else to be shared. Just ask and ye shall receive. I cannot force anyone to be honest and with integrity ensure some form of gift or charity to myself, the laborer of this work, nor do I have any expectation of such an act. I can only ask that the current holder of it, in whatever form, consider the great pain and suffering, many years of study and learning at my own expense, career, loss of friends, and of health, that went into this creation, with the sole motive and intent of benefiting any and all who may acquire it, and the desire to continue doing so with other future works, while being able to also eat and have shelter. Therefore, if indeed this writing within brings enlightenment, enjoyment, and awakening, I ask your help in perhaps contributing in pure and simple charity to my future ability to continue to create such free works, so that all who seek may acquire. But under no circumstances should this request be mistaken to mean that this work should not be first and foremost digitally shared freely and selflessly in its original PDF format. Play it forward. For no man is truly free until all men are free. I may be incorrect, but printing this work off will likely be way more expensive than acquiring the printed book privately for myself. However, if the holder of this work chooses to do so, the same law applies. Always act charitably and play it forward, and never sell this work for profit and gain, for this would be a stain upon its intent and a slap in the face of its author. As for the contents of this work, the author apologizes for the fact that the sheer nightmarish magnitude of the information covered within and in future volumes can only be presented like a massive connect-the-dots puzzle. Ironically, as a presentation of the pitfalls inherent in the construction of the artful legal language itself, where we must define all legal terms as compared to the very same common word terms as shown herein, this was the challenge of a lifetime. I am exhausted. And so for the reader's benefit, please trust in the author's final work as a whole, despite my sometimes purposefully repetitive ramblings, for the language as used herein is also being dualistically defined on the spot, while at the same time being constructed into teaching sentences, all of which correlate to other parts. Never forget that we are brainwashed, governed, through repetition, be it through public education, music, entertainments, or through political rhetoric, words of artifice, and the daily news. We certainly learn through repetition, and so no apology is offered for my own use of it within this work. My intention is not deception, but enlightenment. As above, so below, for all legal words interconnect with each other, a circular trap of deceit and trickery, bound only by the respected reality and law of nature. Could I tell you how all dots connect with each other if I do not come back to the same dot in repetition and in relationship to all other possible dots? The literalist considers linearly, as the path laid out in a connect-the-dots puzzle for children. The spiritual mind considers all possibilities and makes a moral choice based upon the law, and thus God, he follows. To educate is to use repetition to force the learning of useless knowledge of fictional things and their names. To teach, as to enlighten, is to be able to connect all the dots as the self-evident truth. The author aspires to the latter, regrettably failing where I may. But I must say here that what I repeat, I attempt to connect to another dot, at least incrementally, until all the multitude of connected dots form an accurate, verifiable picture or story, where the sum of all ideas make up the whole without defect. Nothing is ambiguous in the legal intent and definition of words, terms of art. The art of man's law cannot exist, as and in anti-nature, without being described and defined into a false existence by specifically authorized words, any more than a painting can exist without paint, or a stone sculpture without the stone. Thus, the concept used in the beginning of this work may not be comprehended or fully defined or deciphered until the end of this work. This is to say that we all must become aware of the secretive meaning and intent of the legal, usually figurative, version of all words, which not only accompanies our general common English language in a frighteningly misleading similitude, but in fact appears, sounds like, and is spelled exactly the same as our everyday conversational vernacular. Every matrix is created to appear as the same, but is only a virtual form of reality designed to deceive. Legality is like cellophane wrapped over everything we see, causing all things to be invisibly redefined by legal names and titles, proprietary words. Yet I assure you that these are two separate languages despite their seeming perfection of similitude. Dismiss nothing. The literal, real, and the figurative, legal, artificial, seldom carry the same interpretation. The trappings of this dualistic, esoteric word magic is not meant to cause freedom. Before we move on, this point must be understood. All words are a lie. All words are a representation of something, whether it be truth or fiction. A representation, no matter how accurate, is never a truth in and of itself. Words are never self-evident truth. All words are thus magical by their nature. One does not need to imagine a rabbit being pulled out of a black top hat as a magic trick, action, to be mature enough to grasp this concept, words. A word is always a creation of man without exception. In all of nature, we must never confuse a recreation of man with a creation of God. We must never mistake source with resource. We must realize that invention is never origin. There are no sources but natural sources, and no resources may be raped or manufactured that do not have the seal of Jehovah, nature, upon them, even when mixed unnaturally. Source, truth, never changes, even when manipulated and mixed to appear as resource, invention. Man is never the creator of what is real, and this is most importantly so when it comes to words. The name placed upon a substance is not substance itself. A name is neither part of any substance nor necessary for its existence. All that is in self-existence, which some call collectively as the oneness of God, Jehovah, does not exist or not exist because man came up with a word to call each part of the whole. And so we must always remember not to place the value of truth upon any word we read or hear. No word should be placed in an authority in our minds that is greater in power and will than that for which the word is imagined to be attached to. This is the path of the fool, and all these words are used to manipulate us like puppet strings. For we have all been made fools by them. We can verify this simply by listening to popular culture and media, and for that matter just about everywhere we may go in public. For there we will undoubtedly find the strangest of all oddities, so normalized into societal form and functionality that we barely even question it anymore. That being the continuous battle of words between men. In other words, a battle of truths. My words are more truer than yours. No, my words make your words ridiculous. No, my words make me right and you wrong. No, I am telling the truth. And so we find a battle of words in perpetuity, from actors that are members and followers of other parishioners of magical spellings that provide them with news, entertainment, and information, but again only through words, lies. We live falsely, unnaturally, by representation. And so magically we're all now arguing with each other over what is truth, because we seem to have forgotten the foundational rule that the truth is only what is real, what is of nature, what is a creation of God, and nothing else. We have forgotten that truth exists self-evidently, never needing our passions of offense or defense to exist in source. We have forgotten that truth is everything we haven't recreated and repurposed. What is true is not up for debate, unless that truth is a false doctrine or cultural meme created by man that can never actually be the truth of the reality in nature. And so, though the words of any man will never change the truth, we must be aware that the magical effect of words can alter the appearance and perception of what is truth, to the point where we have talked ourselves right out of reality. But the law of nature is to live by and respect the truth, in and of all things, and to protect it as such. Thus we find ourselves living paradoxically, our minds caught between two dimensions of existence, one artificial and instantly valuable and changeable, and one real in its permanence and law. Some call this as the darkness and the light, a battle between God, reality, nature, self-evident truth, and Satan, artifice, fiction, and lies, both of which are battling for the title of truth. But whatever we call it, we must first and foremost recognize it is happening and affecting us all in exceedingly more threatening and technologically, artfully, advanced ways. This clashing of reality and fiction in a title fight for the label of truth in the minds of men is why the fictional world was created. It is the reason for word magic, the purpose of the artificers and illusionists of church and state. And this battle, of course, is why the legal language was conceived, to create a man-made fictional realm of lies that stands both in similarity but not sameness to, and also in direct opposition, adversary, to the truth of all things. Through words alone, man is kept from enjoying his true nature. Through words alone, man's mind has been short-circuited and enslaved in a complex legal matrix of confirmed and ratified lies. Remember that towards the public, as Manly P. Hall so noted, the gods always speak in verse, in metaphor, and cause their common subjects to reciprocally speak in prose, literalness, through public education. It is when poetry, art, can be hidden behind what appears to be common prose, that its verse carries the most magic, manipulating us all without conscious awareness of its rhyme or reason, into a despotic disharmony of false conceptualization. To be clear, and as we will show with detail later in this work, it is perfectly legal to lie to the public, off the record, because the public does not actually exist in any individual capacity. The public is not a man, it is a non-entity, a magic word used to indiscriminately address and pretend to give legal notice to all persons, property, of government at once. It requires no response and no oath or swearing in to tell the truth. Of course, there is no actual truth in the fiction of politics. In fact, in grammar, we generally separate what is true and what is fiction by the words natural and political. So how can a political creation, a politician, lie to the public, when both of those words represent that which is not real? How can a lie tell a lie when that lie, politician, only legally, anti-truth, exists in the fictional place, fictional legal jurisdiction, it was created from? How does a politician lie when everything it does is in the fictional legal realm? For in fiction, every legally created lie is a truth. Politician. Adjective. Cunning, using artifice. Noun. One versed in the science of government and the art of governing. One skilled in politics. 1. A man of artifice or deep contrivance. Webster's 1828. Political. Adjective. Artful, skillful. See politic. Black's Law, 4th edition. Inversely, however, a single member of the public is not allowed, licensed, to lie to the government on the record. Thus we are spoken to not individually, but in poetic verse, lie after stinking lie, by puppets reading wordsmithed rhetoric of master speechwriters. If you can imagine the devil reading poetry, a speech, to teach an anti-moral lesson, then you may know the speech of the politician. It is not the words or verse that is tainted, but the spirit of intent. Quote, poetry is the universal art of the spirit, which has become free in itself and which is not tied down for its realization to external sensuous material. Instead, It launches out exclusively in the inner space and the inner time of ideas and feelings. End quote. Georg Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. Let us explore the meanings of these words so as to understand the importance of their usage, remembering that the Bible is in verse, as were the words of Christ. Prose, noun, from Latin prosa. 1. The natural language of man. Language loose and unconfined to poetical measure, as opposed to verse or metrical composition. Things unattempted, yet in prose or rhyme. 2. A prayer used in the Romish church on particular days. Verb transitive, to write in prose. 1. To make a tedious relation. Webster's 1828. Prosaic, adjective, Latin prosaicus, from prosa, prose, pertaining to prose, resembling prose, not restricted by numbers, applied to writings as a prosaic composition, Webster's 1828. Verse, noun, Latin versus, verto, to turn. 2. Poetry, metrical language. Virtue was taught in verse. Verse embalms virtue. 3. A short division of any composition, particularly of the chapters in the scriptures. The author of the division of the Old Testament into verses is not ascertained. The New Testament was divided into verses by Robert Stevens. 4. A piece of poetry, verb transitive, to tell in verse, to relate poetically. Playing on pipes of corn and versing love. To be versed, Latin visor, to be well skilled, to be acquainted with, as to be versed in history or in geometry. Webster's 1828. Legist, noun, one skilled in the laws. Webster's 1828. Poetize, verb intransitive, to write as a poet, to compose verse. Webster's 1828. Versifier, noun, 1. One who makes verses. Not every versifier is a poet. 2. One who converts into verse, or one who expresses the ideas of another written in prose, as Dr. Watts was a versifier of the Psalms. Webster's 1828. Versification, noun, the act, art, or practice of composing poetic verse. Versification is the result of art, labor, and rule, rather than of invention or the fire of genius. It consists in adjusting the long and short syllables and forming feet into harmonious measure. Webster's 1828. Version, noun, Latin versio. 1. A turning, a change or transformation, as the version of air into water. 2. Change of direction, as the version of the beams of light. 3. The act of translating, the rendering of thoughts or ideas expressed in one language into words of like signification in another language. How long was Pope engaged in the version of Homer? 4. Translation, that which is rendered from another language. We have a good version of the scriptures. There is a good version of the Pentateuch in Samaritan. The Septuagint version of the Old Testament was made for the benefit of the Jews in Alexandria. Webster's 1828. Metrical. Adjective. From Latin metricus. 1. Pertaining to measure or due arrangement or combination of long and short syllables. 2. Consisting of verses as metrical compositions. Webster's 1828. Measure, noun, from Latin mensura, from mensus, the participle of metio, to measure, English to meet, M-E-T-E. 1. The whole extent or dimensions of a thing, including length, breadth, and thickness. The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Job 11, verse 9. It is applied to also the length or breadth separately. 2. that by which extent or dimension is ascertained, either length, breadth, thickness, capacity, or amount, as a rod or pole is a measure of 5 yards and a half, an inch, a foot, a yard are measures of length, a gallon is a measure of capacity. Weights and measures should be uniform. Silver and gold are the common measure of value. 3. A limited or definite quantity, as a measure of wine or beer. 4. Determined extent or length, limit. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. Psalms 39, verse 4. 5. A rule by which anything is adjusted or proportioned. God's goodness is the measure of his providence. 6. Proportion, quantity settled. I enter not into the particulars of the law of nature or its measures of punishment, yet there is such a law. 7. Full or sufficient quantity. I'll never pause again till either death hath closed the eyes of mine or fortune given me measure of revenge. 8. Extent of power or office. We will not boast of things without our measure. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 9. Portion allotted, extent of ability. 10. Degree, quantity indefinite. 15. Means to an end, an act, step, or proceeding towards the accomplishment of an object. An extensive signification of the word applicable to almost every act preparatory to a final end, and by which it is to be attained. Thus we speak of legislative measures, political measures, public measures, prudent measures, a rash measure, effectual measures, inefficient measures. Verb transitive. To compute or ascertain an extent, quantity, dimensions, or capacity by a certain rule, as to measure land, to measure distance, to measure the altitude of a mountain, to measure the capacity of a ship or of a cask. To ascertain the degree of anything, as to measure the degrees of heat or of moisture. 3. To judge of distance, extent, or quantity, as to measure anything by the eye. Great are thy works, Jehovah, infinite thy power. What thought can measure thee? 4. To adjust, to proportion, to secure a contented spirit. Measure your desires by your fortunes, not your fortunes by your desires. 5. To allot or distribute by measure. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Matthew 7, verse 2. Webster's 1828. Meet, M-E-T-E, verb transitive, from Latin metio, Hebrew to measure. To measure, to ascertain quantity, dimensions, or capacity by any rule or standard. Obsolescent. Noun, measure, limit, boundary, used chiefly in the plural in the phrase meets and bounds. Webster's 1828. Meter, noun, from meet, one who measures, used in compounds, as in coal meter, land meter. Webster's 1828. Remember that this word natural, as used above to describe prose as being the natural language of man, is not a reference to anything in nature. Words are not a part of creation and are certainly not self-existent. The term natural here is instead a legal reference to the lowest, vulgar, illiterate, idiot nature of man, without cultivation and civilization into elitist status. This means not to be well-versed in the law. The municipal and U.S. codes are certainly written in numbered sections, as are dictionaries, ciphers, as quite shortened and concise versions of the whole. Mere literalist prose is not restricted or limited by numbers nor by previous verbiage. Prose has no purposeful rhyme or reason, but we may also begin to comprehend the endless loop of pain and suffering that is caused by the legal system, a system 100% based upon the administration and justification of judging others through fiction. To have such a legal, anti-Christ, privilege to judge, we must first submit the surname for which we are already judged, doomed, by at birth. This for-profit system of the organization of petty judgment and reward in mammon goes against all teachings of Christ, seeking an intermediary magistrate God to intervene where the highest law states never to enter, into a house of iniquity, where forgiveness is measured as an unprofitable sin.
Quote, "Judge not, that ye not be judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." End quote. Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2, King James Bible. Quote, "As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." End quote. Obadiah 1, verse 15, King James Bible. End of Preface, Part 4.